Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. The Old Testament book of Proverbs, and we find our way to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 18. The book of Proverbs and chapter number 18. We're in a little mini-series that we're going to be going in and out of throughout this year, dealing with the power of God's name. Understanding that we can learn the names of God, and we should. But we should also learn how to use God's name. And all throughout the Bible tells us about using God's name. We find our way to the book of Proverbs in chapter number 18. The book of Proverbs, chapter 18. And if you don't mind, let's look at one verse, a very important verse, a verse that when we meditate can get a lot out of it and help us in our everyday lives. Proverbs chapter 18, and notice with me in verse number 10. The book of Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 10. The Bible says this, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark a phrase that we find in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 18. The book of Proverbs, chapter 18, and notice with me, verse 10, the phrase, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower." The name of the Lord is a strong tower. If you don't mind, let us go together to the Lord and let's pray and talk to Him. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you today, I'm asking that again, you would show yourself real. And I'm glad that as we're talking to you, you're not imaginary, you're not a crutch, you're not a figment of our imagination. You're a real God. And you have revealed yourself in such a way that we can trust you. I'm asking, Lord, that we would be able to use this verse in a very practical way throughout of all of our life, understanding that you are a refuge, you are a place to run to, and that with the different attributes that you have, we could depend upon them. I'm asking that you would just help us through this message now, Lord, that you would order our steps, order our mind, that through your Holy Spirit, you could get victory, that with any obstacles, any hindrances, any grievances that may be done for your Holy Spirit, you'd set aside, Lord, and that you would get a hold of your people with your precious Spirit. Lord, I recognize that it's not my oratory skills, it's not my ability that can get anything done. It has to be your Holy Spirit, you to speak to hearts, to change hearts, to get people to point and look at you. We're just asking that you would just reveal yourself today. Let us see you for whom you truly are. And as we see you as you truly are, that we'd also respond in kind and properly based off our vision of whom you are. Help me now. Fill me with your Spirit. Get your own work accomplished through your word. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we start off, the Bible's very clear that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Before we start, we should probably just define our terms. The idea of a strong tower carries the idea here of a castle, a fortress. And with it, it carries a deeper idea that it is a sanctuary, a place that we could run to, a place that we could hide to. You understand, every person is looking for a sanctuary. For a warrior wants a castle. He wants a fortress where the enemy cannot come in, where the enemy cannot infiltrate, a place where he feels like he can relax and not be on guard. He could set down the fight just for a moment because nothing can get in. But you know, it's not just warriors. Those maybe say who is an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur is looking for a sanctuary. He's looking for something for his business, for the things that he is selling, his goods and services, where inflation can't touch it, where other things can't interrupt it. Everyone is looking for a sanctuary. Whether it's a mother. A mother is looking for a sanctuary, a place where she could be by herself and not be interrupted and come back to her own mind. Everyone is looking for that sanctuary, that strong tower, that place where they could run to, a place where they could hide in, a place for just a moment they could set aside the cares and feel secure and safe. If we were to be honest, a lot about our world doesn't allow us to feel secure or let us feel safe.
Amen.
And yet the Bible says here that the name of the Lord is as a strong tower. And so just setting up and defining our terms, what are we meaning by this? We're not saying that the name of God is like a rickety old castle that's falling apart. He's carrying the idea that it's a place where we could run for refuge. With that, let's explore a little bit more what is meant by the name of the Lord. What is meant by the name of the Lord? Well, understand that the main purpose of the Bible is to reveal God to man. That is the main purpose of the Bible, to reveal God to man. God wants to be known. God wants to be known. We have a personal God. We have an intimate God. We don't have a God that's far away. We have a God who wants to be known. And so he chose to reveal himself through his written word. The Bible talks about in the book of Peter that this is a more sure word of prophecy. Go with me if you second, as Peter says, hey, let me tell you, I had an experience. I had a wonderful experience. I was with the Lord, and I was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and I watched the Lord turn himself inside out. That, you know, Jesus is God robed in flesh. And for that moment of time, I watched him disrobe. I watched him take off that flesh and transfigure himself to the holy, mighty God, and I was there. You imagine what a great experience that was? The problem with experience is that you can't share it. Peter can talk about that experience all that he wants, but that experience will not mean the same to you as it does to him. That's why Peter goes on and says, listen, as great as that experience was, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Again, what is the main purpose of the Bible? To reveal God to man. Aren't you glad that our vision of God is not based off of dreams?
Amen.
Because some of you dream different than I do. And some of your dreams are influenced by pepperoni pizza and heartburn and past and issues and guilts. We can't trust dreams to give us a correct vision of God. And so God didn't say base things off of our dreams. He's given us a more sure word of prophecy. Meaning that God's main purpose of the Bible is to reveal who God is to us. So that way we would have the same vision of God. Not based off of what we think or what we feel that God should be. Amen. We have a more sure word of prophecy. And so the primary way that God has chosen to reveal himself is through his word. The second way that God has chosen to reveal himself is through his names. That's why the study of the names of God is such a profitable study. Because when you study the names of God, you are studying what God has chosen to reveal about himself. And as we learn about his names, we learn more about his attributes, and we learn more about his character. Now, there's a power to a name. When someone you love is mentioned by name, it becomes personal to us. There becomes emotions and feelings. Names are not cold and distant things. For example, my wife's name is Leah. When I hear that name, I have emotions that go with it. There's an attachment to it. It's not a cold and passionate person of someone I've never heard of before. If Brother Shigalis, our missionary to Bulgaria, said a name of Bulgarian that we don't use in the United States, we would have no emotional attachment to that name whatsoever. We may snicker and say, well, I've never heard that name before, but it doesn't mean anything to us. But when you learn about the names and how those names apply to someone you care and know of, those names become more meaningful. Let me give an example. Names tell us something special and unique about the person who holds it. I have three kids. My oldest child, all of their names mean something, but she also has a nickname. Her nickname is Princess. Why? Because she carries qualities and characteristics of a princess. And that name is uniquely to her. I do not call my son Princess, because those names and attributes don't belong to him. They belong to someone specific. It is a name that I have. It is another name that she has just for her. I have another daughter. I do not call her Princess, because the name doesn't match her character and her attributes. And all of those who know my youngest daughter know that she's not a princess. She's more from Philadelphia, ready to fight. And just so there's something about a name. That a name reveals something about a character, an attribute. And so God, not only has he chosen to reveal himself through his word, but he has also chosen to reveal himself through his names. And each of God's names tells us something special and unique about who God is, about his character, or about his attributes, what he is like. Now, as we start to put these things together, notice again, the name of the Lord is as a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it, the name of God, the strong tower, and is safe. There is a protection that comes from God's name. Now, the name of God is not just an abstract concept, but it is a real place of security, because everyone seeks for a stronghold. Everyone seeks for a fortress. Everyone longs for a place of safety. And God has provided that safety through his name. A place that we could run to protect us from the storms of life, from the uncertainties of the world. The righteous run to him, to his name, and are safe. Now, we're going to learn about some of these names of God. I'm going to use examples. But the Bible here is talking about that when we learn to understand God's names, we could run to those names, apply those names, and have a safety, an assurance, a place where we could feel secure, a place where we feel like we could set down our fight for a moment because we feel safe. There is something about feeling safe. And God's names provide that for us. So let's just give some examples. We know that God has revealed himself through his names throughout the Bible. We have generic name of God, which would be Elohim, which we would see as in the Bible and the Old Testament as G-O-D. Now, Elohim is God's proper title. It's saying God. It's acknowledging who he is. It goes along with it carrying the idea that he is the self-sufficient one. He is God. In the Old Testament, it is used 2,700 times and just 32 times in Genesis chapter 1. It is a powerful, important name. We know that the name of God, Elohim, is often put as a contract where you see E-L, L something, and that carries with it the idea of this official title for God, and then we could plug in a different title along with it. We have God's personal name. God's personal name is Jehovah. And we see that in the Bible, and it will be showed up in the Old Testament as capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. So whenever you see the word Lord in all capitals, what it's referring to is God's personal name. You know, and there's a difference between a personal name and a proper name. For example, if someone came in, let's say the President of the United States came in, I'm assuming none of you know him personally. And so because of that, we would use a formal title, president so-and-so, governor so-and-so, mayor so-and-so. We would use a proper title because we're not familiar with them. We don't have that permission of familiarity. And so when we need proper God, we talk about God. Then there's the personal name of Jesus, of God, which is Jehovah. By the way, the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. This is his personal name, and it means more. It carries the idea that he's the I Am, the self-sufficient one. He doesn't need anything from it. This name is very important. This name, L-O-R-D, the unchanging, eternal, self-existing God, appears in the Old Testament 11,600 times approximately. That's quite a bit. He's the self-existent one who never changes. We can always go up to him. Now, we'll use that title Jehovah, that personal name of God, and tie it and make combinations. So between the L and the Jehovah, we make different combinations that teach us more about who God is. Let's give an example. We have in the Bible El Elyon. By the way, we're going to talk about all these names of God after our missions revival in September, all the way through December. That's our main series. We're going to talk about each individual name of God. But for now, we're just using an illustration. El Elyon is, in the Bible, it's said, the Most High God. And when you talk about the Most High God, you know, if you've ever talked to a clerk and you say, I want your manager, well, there's no one higher than God. There's no other authority. There's no Supreme Court. There's nothing over. He is the highest you can appeal to. I want to speak to the manager. I want to speak to the boss. I don't want anyone middleman. I don't want to in between. I want the direct person who can answer all my questions. That's God. The Most High God. And you know what? There are some times that we need to appeal to the Most High God. I don't want to appeal to someone lesser. I don't want to appeal to some middle management. I want to go to the very top, and I want him to give me the answers. I could run to the name of God, the Most High God, and know that there's no one higher than him. He is the ultimate authority. By the way, because he's the ultimate authority, anything he says goes. I don't have to appeal to a different boss. I don't have to worry about what anyone else says. So if my ultimate authority says, go witness to that person, I don't have any other source of appeal. I need to go do what the boss told me to do. I do what the boss told me. He is my ultimate authority. Now this helps me because I could run to it. If God told me to do it, I'm on safe ground. Amen. I don't have to worry about anything else because the ultimate authority has given me instructions. Let's go to a different name of God. One of my favorite names of God, El Royi, which means the God who sees me. The God who sees me. And this is attached to the wonderful story of Hagar. Hagar is a favorite study because Hagar is one of the few people who saw Abraham at his worst. Abraham got backslidden and decided that he was going to take care of his family his own way instead of depend on God and went to Egypt. When he got to Egypt, because he still wasn't trusting on God, Pharaoh said, hey, who's that nice, beautiful 70-year-old lady over there? Is she married? And he goes, don't tell her. Say it's my sister. And she said, all right, my husband's stupid, but I'm going to trust God and I'm going to trust the authority. God, yes, he's my brother. Which technically was kind of true. They were half brother, half sister, but that's a different story. But and Pharaoh said, well, since you're single, yeah, you are so good. You imagine how pretty is this lady at 70? And then later on at 90, she has people that saying, hey, I want to marry you. You're hot. I want to marry you. And so Pharaoh gets ready to marry Sarah. And then God reveals to Pharaoh that, hey, you know what? This is married to Abraham. And Abraham's like, I was scared. And Pharaoh's like, you almost got me in trouble with God. Get out of here. Here's some presents. Here's some finances. Here's some gold. Just get. Oh, you know what? Here's a servant. And here's Hagar. Hagar got involved when Abraham was backslidden. Later on, Abraham gets impatient. Technically, Sarah gets impatient. we're never going to have a wife. I meant when you start getting 80 years old, you're probably not looking forward to having a child. You're probably thinking your time of life is kind of over and it's not in the cards and it didn't happen. So she goes, you know what? I've got a servant by the name of Hagar. Abraham, why don't you have a child with her and we'll call it ours. Can you imagine that conversation? That's one of those DVDs you'll have to check out sometime and see what in the world just happened in that conversation, how that went on. What? You want me to do what? Yeah, I got this great idea. This is never going to turn out well, and it did not. So Hagar has a child, and as she's getting ready to have this child, she doesn't help herself. Now remember, Hagar's lost. She's not saved. And she went with Abraham and Sarah when they were at their lowest, when they were less spiritual. And so she's never really got to see them at the peak or never had a vision of them. She's always seen them at the lowest. Well, Hagar doesn't help things when she says, listen, Sarah, you're not woman enough to get the job done. You had to get a real woman to have a child. Well, Sarah doesn't quite like this, and there's a little bit of fight. And finally, Hagar said, you know what? I think I pushed her way too much, and I think I better go back home to Egypt. Forget them. And so she packs her bags and takes off to the desert, and she is going to Egypt. And as she's going to Egypt, getting ready, the border is right there. God meets her and says, where are you going? What's going on? And he begins to talk with her, and Hagar is the one who names God El Roi, the God who sees me. Why? Because in the conversation, she says, God saw where I came from. He saw where I currently am. And he sees what's going to happen to me. Do you know that there's a God? We learn from that name of God that he's an eternal God who sees the end from the beginning. God is never surprised. There may be things in your life that may catch you off guard. I didn't see this bill coming. I didn't see this emergency coming. I didn't see this happening, but God saw it all. And because God sees it all, he could direct our path. You know what God told Hagar? Go back and submit to Sarah. But you don't understand. It was an awful situation. God knew that, but he also had a plan. God sees the end from the beginning. And so when God tells us something, we could see that there's a God who sees the end from the beginning and we can trust him. All right, God knows what's best. If this is how he directed me, then I could trust that he knows what he's doing. Amen. That the name of the Lord is like a strong tower. Take another name of God. We have the name of God, Jehovah Jireh, a familiar name. This again deals with Abraham. Remember that finally Abraham had a son of promise by the name of Isaac. It wasn't Hagar's son, it was Sarah's son. She finally had at 90-something years old. Woohoo! I'm sure that was a fun experience. How would you like to carry a baby when you're 90? Oh, I mean, there's a lot of things that could go wrong. Well, she had the child and the child grew up. And now the child is 30 years old. He's no longer a real child anymore. By the way, when God tells Isaac to go take Isaac to go sacrifice him, because Isaac is 33 and Abraham's 133, there's no way that 133-year-old man's going to force someone in his prime to lay down. Amen. Isaac had to trust his dad and willingly submit to a request that sounded fairly far-fetched. Parents, by the way, do you instill that much trust in your child that they're willing to trust you that much? But Abraham had told Isaac that God will supply himself a lamb. And so God did. And so we have the name of God revealed, the Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. We all understand we have needs. We have real needs. We have needs with dollar signs on it that does not match our bank account. Yep. Exactly. But when we could run to the Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides, we run to a God who has all the finances in the world. The Bible is very clear that the world is his and the fullness thereof. All the gold and silver is him. God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He even owns the taters underneath the hills. He owns it all. God is not broke. In fact, When we go to heaven, we have streets of gold. God is not worried about it that he uses gold as pavement. God's not worried about money. And so we could run to the name of God, to the Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides, run to his name and be safe. I don't know how God's going to supply, but he is the supplier. I can trust in him and be safe. We could run to him. Knowing these names of God helps us out quite a bit. There's Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, the God, the Lord that heals. The Lord that heals. This is used when the children of Israel are out in the middle of the desert and they don't have water. In fact, the only water source they can is undrinkable. But God is able to supply that refreshing water, the God that heals. A lot of us have aches and pains and have real things. We can trust God to either heal or give grace so we can still go forward. Therefore, I will glory in his infirmities. For when I am weak, he is strong. I have a God who can give me grace. You know, just because you're hurting doesn't mean you have to be grumpy about it. You say, how do you do that? I hurt so bad, I'm always grumpy. That's because you need to run to the Lord. Amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. God, you can supply grace in the midst of all my pain, and I can joy in you and your strength. And you could help me. Even if you don't take away the pain, you could give me grace to continue to do what I need to do in the spirit I ought to do it. You're the Lord that heals, the Jehovah Rapha. There's the Jehovah Nisi. His banner over me is love. You know, another favorite verse is found in Ephesians, that you're accepted in the beloved. A lot of people are looking for acceptance. A lot of people are looking for belonging. And we live in a world where they're looking for someone to belong. They go to this group. High school's the worst. They go to this group. Nope, this group. Nope, this group. And they're trying to find somewhere to belong. And it doesn't go away when you get in your 20s. You're trying to find somewhere. Where do I belong? What is my place in this world? Where do I go? Well, when you learn to run to the Lord, you are accepted. Amen. In the beloved. That accepted in the beloved means God just doesn't love you. He likes you. We all have people that we love, but we won't go on vacation with them. We don't want to spend time with them. God doesn't just love you. He likes you. And he wants to spend time with you. You are accepted. And his banner over you is love. A banner is like a flag. It's a standard that they would use in battle. And so they would plant that flag and say, this is God's place. And if you come to me, I will accept you. Here is your place. You know, one of the fun things about real independent Baptist churches who believe the Bible is that we accept everyone. From the craziest looking person to the actual craziest person, we accept everyone. Some of you may feel like that. Well, this is the only place where I feel like I belong. Yeah, well, that's not because of us. It's because we have a great God. And God has accepted my failures and my quirks and my idiosyncrasies. He'll accept yours too. Amen. I have a place. I belong. And there's a lot of other rejects. We could be rejected together and be here with the Lord. I see I'm trying to encourage you now. That you have a place, that Jehovah Nisi, his banner over you is love, the God of the banner. And he has accepted you for who you are. You see, you could run. The name of the Lord is as a strong tower. When the righteous run to them, they are safe. Let me throw just a couple more. I love names of God, by the way. We have Jehovah Makadesh, the Lord that sanctifies. The Lord that sanctifies. You know, God is doing a work in your life. Now, what's interesting is in that context where God says that I'm the God that sanctifies, he's actually just gave the plans for the tabernacle. And it's going to take 9 months for them to build the tabernacle. And one thing that God tells them is that don't forget the Sabbath. You say, the Lord that sanctifies, and then he's talking about the Sabbath. Is it the right name? Oh, it is the right name. You see, what God is teaching was a principle is that sometimes we can get so busy doing things for God that we fail to spend time with God. And that he's the Lord that sanctifies. And that we need to make sure that we spend time with him. and not just doing things for him. Amen. By the way, preachers are the worst at this, because what happens is this becomes a sermon book instead of a book to be with him. Our prayers become prayers about people instead of spending time with him. And the Lord that sanctifies, he's the God that's changed us. We should want to be with him. There's a lot of things to pray for, but the most important thing about prayer is to be with him. Yes, and that when we're at church, it's important that we're with him instead of our body here, but our mind somewhere else. God wants us to be with him. One more, if you don't mind. There's so many. Remember, there's 300 different unique names of God in the Bible. We're not covering all 300. So the last one today. But these are great. When you learn these names of God, you could run to him because the name of the God is as a strong tower. When the righteous run to him, they are safe. We have the Lord of hosts. Outside of Jehovah or Lord, this is the most commonly used name of God. And the Lord of hosts carries with it the idea that God is the captain of all of the armies of heaven. He's the general. Now, this is important because when you read the Old Testament, there's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of enemies. There's a lot of things going on. And so God would often use this name to remind them that one God plus one is always a majority. That God's on the winning side. And that I don't have to fight the battles for me. The battle is not yours. Isn't that encouraging? The battle's not yours. It's his. And he's the God who doesn't lose a fight. He's the God that when we trust in him and do it his way, not our way, and we depend upon his name, he could fight all of our enemies for us. You understand? There's something about the name of the Lord. We run to it. It is a strong tower. When the righteous run to it, we are safe. When you read the Old Testament, there's a lot of times where the people are not safe. But when they trust in the Lord of hosts, it doesn't matter if there's 185,000 Assyrians outside the gates. When I trust in God, that's nothing to him. In fact, one of the most powerful usages of the Lord of hosts, we're going to get into a message in Isaiah on that same incident. Could you imagine having the Nazis of the ancient world surrounding you and saying, we will kill you? They have messengers speaking in your language saying how you cannot withstand and you're all going to die. Congratulations. And Isaiah and Hezekiah had a prayer meeting. And God says, I've got this handled. What do you mean you got? What do you want us to do? Nothing. I've got it. They went to bed and woke up the next morning with a graveyard around them, 185,000 dead. You know, that was nothing to God. In fact, he didn't even do it impersonally. He just sent an angel. One angel took care of 185,000 of the greatest warriors of the ancient world. God plus one is a majority. You understand, God has tons of angels out there who are watch over his people. And he watches over. We have the Lord of hosts that I can run to his name. And when I feel threatened, when I feel at the place where I have insecurities, I run to his name. You're the Lord of hosts. You fight my battles for me. I could trust you to get this done. I know a lot of missionaries who claim that name because they're in danger. Real danger. But you could claim this name of God too. Lord, here's a battle I didn't plan on being in, but you allowed me to be in here. I'm going to let you fight my battle for me. You just tell me what to do. You're the boss. You take care of this. We could use his names to run. This is, again, why the name of God is so important. As we continue on, and you guys have listened patiently, there's something about the proximity of the tower. A strong tower is only useful if it is close enough to reach. If your tower is across the country, it doesn't do you any good when the enemy is right at your heels. The tower that God has is close. It's near. So many people fail to experience the refuge of God's names because they remain distant from him. You know, you could live so close to God that you could just run to him at any moment. One of the things I'm conscious of, just to get side little idea, is how important it is for me to be right with God, because there are times that I have to pray immediately. Maybe something comes and I can say, this is serious. I need to make sure I'm right with God, so when that prayer request comes, I'm able to go to God right then and there. But so many people live so distant from God that this sermon doesn't make sense to them. It sounds good in theory, but they can never practice it. Why? Because they're so far away. A good example of this is the Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. Again, I love the study of the names of God, but you know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon only uses the proper title of God. He never uses the personal name of God. That even though he is writing this and he's talking about God, he's not close to God. And God is so distant. That's how a lot of people live their Christian life, is that God is so distant. But if you stay close to him, you have a ready help at any time. Lord, I need you now. Lord, there's an accident. I need you now. Lord, there's this incident here. I need you now. That the proximity of that tower gives us that safety, that run to. Some people could illustrate it like this, that when kids play tag, the ones that stay close to base are usually the safest. Yep. It's those that go off to a distance. There's a long way between them and base, and a lot of things that can happen. We know that's a cute little illustration, but sometimes those things help. Are you close to being safe? Or you? There's a lot of different distance you have to cover before you could be safe. A close relationship with God allows us to fully trust in him in a shelter during this time. With this, let me just cover one illustration, and that is the hymn Rock of Ages. We sang that before. That in northern Somerset, England, there's a rocky gorge known as the Burmington Combe. Several small villages overlook the sea, including Blagden, which Augustus Toplady had lived and ministered. One day as he walked towards the combe, a violent thunderstorm sent him hurrying for shelter. In this great gorge, is cut between two towering cliffs, and they seemed to be a good hiding place. He went into the cleft of the rocky limestone in the gorge. He hurried towards it and found that he could just stand just upright. It's just enough for him to stand, not a left him. And the storm passed by, and he was safe. As the rain and poured and the thunder roared, he began to write the words of the song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide thyself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin of double care. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. This became a very favorite for people. Gladstone, the Prime Minister of England, loved this hymn. It was the favorite of Prince Albert, the husband of Queen Victoria. And every July, thousands of people come from far and near to stand outside that cleft of the rock and sing that hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. And that's what God is. He is that rock that can't crumble, and that we could run to him. And there's not a lot of room, but you could stand in there and let the storm pass by, and you are safe. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. You understand it's all about God. You could do very little of yourself. But when you learn to run to God and depend upon him for every situation, whether it's finances, whether it's protection, whether it's wisdom, whether knowing what to do, what step to take, the authority to go, God protects you. And you could be safe saying, I'm just doing what God's given me to do. When the rest of the world's going crazy and you seem everyone's against you, I can feel safe because I plugged into the name of God and the person of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And thank you for this reminder of who you are, that you are a real God and you love us and you care. I'm asking, Lord, that you would just help us even now. Maybe we have a problem. Maybe there's a situation. Maybe there's finances. Maybe there's trouble. But whatever it is, maybe we could go run to God. It was once said that if we preach to broken hearts, we'll never lack an audience. Without a doubt, there are some of you who have medical issues. There are some of you who have family issues. There are some of you that have some very real needs. I can do nothing for you, but God can. I encourage you to run to him. I invite you to run to him. Lord, I'm asking you to give people courage and bravery to respond to you properly, and we love you. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.